turn your Bibles with me for a few readings from the Word of God. We will begin our reading with the book of Job, chapter 39. Job 39. And we want to read one verse. This is one of the passages that we shared on Sunday morning or read from. Job 39 and verse 29. Well, let's begin verse 27 just for the connection. But the eagle mount up at thy command and make a nest on high. She dwelleth and abideth on the rocks, on the crag of the rock, and the strong place. From thence she keepeth her prey, from thence she seeketh her prey. On her eyes they behold afar off. And I want to emphasize verse 29. From thence she seeketh her prey, and her eyes they behold it afar off. And Psalm 103 verse 5, I'm sure some of us can recite that verse from memory. But Psalm 103 verse 5, it says, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. And we want to emphasize the last part of this verse, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And then the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And just verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of His holy and precious word. Amen. On Sunday, we began a series looking at the eagle Christian. And if you were here in that particular adult class, we talked about the habits of an eagle. And we were comparing the characteristics of the eagle's life and how if those characteristics would apply to our lives, we can be eagle Christians. The eagle is considered the king of the birds, as the lion is considered the king of the animal kingdom. And there are some wonderful characteristics of the eagle, the bald eagle. There are many types of eagles. And we emphasize on Sunday morning past the habits of the eagle. And maybe just for those of you who are here, who weren't here on Sunday morning, we can quickly run through the four habits of the eagle that we shared on Sunday morning past. And then we will get into the other aspect that we want to share and focus on this evening. And that is the heritage of the eagle. But one of the habits of the eagle is the fact that the eagle builds its nest in the clefts of the rock, in the mountains. And as I read from the book of Job, and our emphasis from that point is the fact that the psalmist said that the Lord has placed us, or there is one who is higher than I. There is a rock that is higher than we are. As a matter of fact, that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole idea, the eagles build their nests in the top of trees and the mountaintops on the ledges, is the whole idea of security and safety. And as eagle Christians, as being in God, we are eternally secured. He says, I give unto you eternal life and you will never perish. We have the assurance. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always with us. We can be sure that we are safe. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about us that fear him and delivereth them. And so the eagle Christians are those who have the security of God, who have the assurance of God, and who are safe in the hands of God. The second habit of the eagle is that it rises above the storms of life. The eagle takes advantage of the wind and soar and mount up in the heavens. He gets above the fogs and the mists and all the things that would hinder his flight. And the Bible says, we shall mount up at wings as eagles. Eagle Christians are those who soar above the storms and the difficulties of life. We will have tribulation in this life, the Bible says. All of us that would live godly, we can experience tribulation. We can experience trials. But even in the midst of trials, we could soar above them like the eagles. And we shared from the second Chronicles when Jehoshaphat and the tribe of Judah was invaded by the Moabites and the Ammonites, that the thing that got them through and caused them to soar above that trial and that difficulty and that event in their lives was prayer. Jehoshaphat remembered who God was. He remembered what God had did. He remembered God's promises, and he reminded God of his promises. The second aspect of that passage, they praised God, even in the midst of that situation, before they got the victory. And how many of us, in the midst of our trial, we have a pity party. Rather than allowing our situation, our storm, our difficulty, our trial to drive us to God, they drive us away from God. And the Apostle Paul and Silas, they were men in the midst of their trials and their difficulties in the dungeon, but yet they sang praises to God. And so the habit of the eagle is that of rising above the storms of life. And eagle Christians will do the same thing. Thirdly, think about the eagle does about his enemies. He simply soars, takes off into the stratosphere, places himself between the storms of life at the enemy and the sun. And so it can be with us. Satan comes at us always. But as we draw closer to the Lord, as we rely upon the Lord, we can overcome the enemies of our soul. And the fourth habit of the eagle is how he cares for her young. How the eagle cares for the young. And we emphasize the fact that God is like an eagle. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over the young and spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. The Bible says, God said to Israel, when he took them to the valley and to the wilderness and the wanderings, he says, I bear you on eagle's wings. And so as we go through our trials and our difficulties, we need to remember we are not alone, that God is there with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so we want to focus on this evening the heritage of the eagle. Some things that eagles inherit as a result of being eagles. What they have. One of the first things we want to point out comes from the book of Job that we read in your hearing. Is the fact that the eagle has good eyes. It says in Job 39 and 29, from thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. An eagle can identify a rabbit in an open area 1 mile away. Now that's some vision. The eagle eyes is almost as big as our eyes, but it's 4 times more perfect than the human eye. And someone has said that an eagle, if it's high on a perch, at least 1,000 feet above sea level, an eagle can span the open country for 3 square miles from a fixed position to be able to gaze and to stand and to see whatever they want to see. Now that's a wonderful thing, to have an eyesight like that, to have vision like that. And so when it comes to the believer, God makes our lives like the eagle's life. He gives us a vision of our days and of our future and of things of God. When we keep our minds and our hearts stayed on Him, we begin to see things as God sees things. And as Brother Morris was speaking, I said, I wonder if Brother Morris is looking at my notes. Because that's one of the things I want to emphasize. And so it's amazing how we as the people of God, as we draw close to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we realize that we can be eagle Christians, the eagle inherits a set of good eyes. And when you and I surrender to the Lord and we walk in His way, the Lord will allow us to see things. The Lord will cause us to be able to discern things that the natural man cannot see and cannot understand. God will allow us to see things that even the carnal Christian cannot see and experience. And so the Bible, the Word of God, gives us that. The eagle Christian has a vision, is able to see things brighter, even in the midst of dark days. And so you and I can lift up our eyes and we can see our future. We can lift up our eyes onto the hills, as some of them, and see a city four square and a king seated on the throne, because we have been born again and the Spirit of God lives within you and within me. We can see sin as God sees it. And as our brother was saying, people cannot understand, and especially this argument of this whole idea of homosexuality. What's the big deal? What's so wrong with it? And as someone has said, what God has called perversion, they want to give it a new name, homosexuality, the gay life, an alternative lifestyle. But God calls it perversion. God calls it sin. And it's amazing, one of the definitions for two homosexuals involved in an intimate act, they call it sex. And I said to my wife, I refuse to call it that, because that's what you and I have as a man and a woman. Two men cannot have that. That's perversion. That's perversion. And even so we can see sin as God sees it. We can see unrighteousness as we walk close to Him and we understand what the Word of God is. God says all sin is unrighteousness. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. That's the basic thing. And so when we stand and we talk about against unrighteousness, it's amazing. About 2 years ago, I don't normally go out to Junkanoo, but my children were saying, Daddy, can't we go in Freeport? So I said, okay. And so we went out. I heard other people talk about this particular Junkanoo group in Freeport that is littered with young men who are the homosexual persuasion. And when they came around, they were doing some lewd movements and gyrations that just made me sick. And then after that group passed, one gentleman was standing beside me, and he was upset, and he was irate, you know, and he was just saying, look at that nasty, and he was just, and I was agreeing with him. And he and I got into a conversation. But lo and behold, here comes another group with some young ladies, young girls, no more than 10 and under. And they were almost doing the same movements that those men were doing. And he was laughing and saying, oh, that's cute. And I looked at him and I said, you are condoning that? I said, we are teaching our young children vulgarity and vulgarness. That's what that is. But he said, but any children? I said, but no, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And so when you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, God gives us a sense of seeing things. As our brother said, the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness unto him. But God gives us the ability to see sin as he sees it. We see goodness and love and truth as he sees them. We see people as he sees people, as important, as valuable. And so that's why when God was looking for a king, Samuel, even though he was a spiritual man, yet he failed to see the way God seen. God had to teach him a lesson. He saw these men who had the physical ability and the acumen to be king and to be warriors. But God says, no, I don't see that way. I don't look at the outward appearance of man. I look at the heart of man. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It is on the outward that comes from within that condemns a man. And so we need to see people as God sees them. Precious. And even though, as our brother said, people might be sinners, we should still see them as being valuable of people who Jesus died for. And eagle Christians will see that. Their eyesight, their vision. They will see people as God sees them. We will see our duty as He sees them. As He sees it. The fact that we have been called to be lights in this world. We have been called to be missionaries, to go wherever we are missionaries. We have been called to love as He loves. We have been called to be people who are forgiving. We are called as stewards to manage that which God has put in our sphere. Whether it be our children, whether it be our finances, whether it be our gifts, whether it be our natural talents, God has given those things to us and He wants us to be good stewards, managers of them. And we will see if we have His eyes, spiritual vision, if we are able to see as He sees. And God wants us to do that. Paul, as he wrote to the saints in Corinth and dealing in the second book, he talks about temptations and what he experienced and how people are tempted to look at those things in a negative way. But he says this, why we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen, they are spiritual, they are eternal. And see, that's what God wants us to see. Even as we go through sicknesses, even as we go through trials, we need to ask ourselves, God, help me to see the purpose of what I'm going through. Help me to see it. Eagle Christians look at events and situations and circumstances differently than others do. We look at it differently. And that's what God wants to teach us. That's what eagle Christians do. We see our duties as He sees it. We see our opportunities and His will for our lives as He does. As He does. And so, the Apostle Paul himself, when he's coming to the end of his life and he realized the fact that he was fulfilling the destiny that God has set for him, and he was giving his testimony before King Agrippa, he says, "Wherefore, O King, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. The purpose that God had for my life, I have fulfilled it. I have walked in it." And you see, eagle Christians will have the vision and understand the vision of God for their lives. The heritage of the eagle inherits a set of good eyes. How do you see your life? How do you see God's purpose and God's will in your life? Is it being fulfilled? Do you know what God's purpose is, what He's called you for into this life? How do you see? How do you see? Or are you like that man when the Lord Jesus Christ made a claim, spit on the ground and or touched his eyes and asked, what do you see? I see men walking up trees. Or do you see men and women as being valuable and important? That's why Jesus came. And so the eagle Christian, we have spiritual eyes. We have vision. We're able to see beyond just our circumstances and we look for God's purpose in every incident, every situation in our lives. The eagle inherits a longing to be free. The eagle inherits a longing to be free. One thing I should read about eagles, they never flock together. They select tall trees, or they go to mountain peaks and cliffs, and they live in pairs in solitude. That's what they do, hunting and feeding singly. They don't flock together. The eagle is an independent creature and doesn't want to be caged in. He wants to be free. And I think that's a sort of a parable of the of the human condition, of humanity's relationship with God. We long to be free. God created us to be free. Not free in the sense that we're not responsible to Him, but free to do His will. We are free to stand before God and honor and worship and adore His precious name. We are free to do that. And when you think about the term, when the Bible talks about the fact that the eagles mount up with wings of eagles, and he's able to soar through the sky and through the air, that gives an air and a sense and a picture of freedom. To be able to do that, unhindered, unencumbered by the elements around him. That speaks of absolute freedom to do that. To fly upon the wind. And when I see that, I see freedom. The freedom to do that. And God created us to be free. But something happened in the garden that caused us to be imprisoned to sin. We lost it. We lost it. We bartered it away. And there are some people who are enslaved to sin. One day, a rancher saw a giant eagle swoop down in his flight and seize the snake from off the plains. The eagle started to climb back to the heights. Again and again, the eagle was bitten by the snake. The poison from the snake's fangs sunk into the bloodstream of the eagle. The rancher watched as the eagle, as I was bitten by the snake, began to descend slowly as the poison took its effect. And the mighty eagle fell lifeless to the earth. And that's almost a picture and a parable of man. As we take up sin and some evil habits and we learn the high cost of low living. I think about David at the pinnacle of his life and ruling and victory and deciding not to go out to fight as kings should. And he walked out on his balcony and he sees this woman. He saw her, and the way that he saw it, he didn't just, saw that he just gazed at her. And lust gripped his heart. Got into him. And you know the story. It pulled him down. He became enslaved to that lust. And he fulfilled that lust. Samson was likewise. And there are countless other types of sin that we become enslaved to. But freedom, the eagles, God has made us to be free. And when you read Romans chapter 6, time, I was hoping to turn it, but time will not allow me to do that, but Romans chapter 6 speaks about the fact, three words, when you go to Romans chapter 6, you can understand that passage very clearly. Paul says, should we sin that grace may abound? Paul says, absolutely not. Don't you know that those who have died in Christ have died to sin? And as you go through those first seven verses, six verses, the word no keeps popping up. God has made us, and since we came to Christ, we have been delivered from the power, the penalty and the power of sin in our lives. And as if we know that, Paul says, know that you have died in Christ. Know that you have been resurrected in Christ. And then he says this word, reckon it to be so. Count it to be so. And if you and I want to be like the eagles who live a free life, live and be able to soar as Christians spiritually in Jesus Christ, we need to know that we have died in Christ and we've been raised with a newness of life. And then he says, reckon that to be so. Count that to be so. And the third word is this. Yield your members to righteousness. You see, now we could say no to unrighteousness. And so if you and I want to be like the eagle, to be able to live a free and to soar above sin and everything else, we need to know that we have died in Christ, we've been resurrected with Christ. We need to remember that we must account that to be so, live in the reality of that, and then yield our members to righteousness. We yield ourselves to God and allow Him to work in our lives. And we will live as people who have been free. Jesus said, the Son shall make you free. You are free indeed. But many of us are still enslaved to sin. And so the ego inherits a longing to be free. God created us to be free and to live a life of freedom from the power of sin in our lives. Further, the eagle inherits a substance on his beak that hinders him in his flight. And that's important to remember. One day the eagle is flying. He realizes that he's not as flying and he cannot ascend as high as he would like. There's a substance that has grown on his beak. In order to be able to soar as high as he wants, the eagle realized that he has to do something. And so he swoops down to the mountains or a tree, and he goes to a rock or a hill and with his beak, and he knocks it against the rock until that substance begins to flow from his beak, and he is freed from it. He is freed from it. And as a result, he can fly and go as high and continue to fly as high as he wants, unhindered. There is something within us that hinders us from flying as we ought to. I alluded to it in the second point, but the point is that there's an old nature within us that keeps us down, that hinders us from flying and going where we ought to be. There is inward that old nature. And that's why Paul says that we have to put off the things of the old man. And we have to put on the things of the new man. If you read the end of Ephesians chapter 4, and in the book of Colossians, Paul talks about this exchange program. He says, put off and put on. Put off and put on. Even though we have been made alive in Christ, yet we still have this old flesh. And Paul talks about the difference between walking in the Spirit in Galatians 5 and not those things that are of the flesh. And those are the things that hinders us from reaching our potential in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, the writer to the Hebrews put it this way, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about, he says, with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, a weight not necessarily a sin. There may be things that might hinder our progress. It could be a family member. It could be some close tie. And we have a wonderful example of that in the Old Testament. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Genesis chapter 12 that God called Abraham. But that's not the first time God called him. When you come to the New Testament in the book of Acts chapter 7, God called Abraham or Abram when he was in the Ur of the Chaldees. That's why he left Ur, and they planted in Haran, but his father was with him. And the Bible tells us that he settled there. Terah with his father. Terah means delay. Delay. And so his father hindered him, delayed him from going and being what God wants him to be. His father, it was good for him to want to be with his father and be responsible to his father, but his father was a weight. It was someone who was hindering him. And sometimes those are the things that keep us, people, from soaring and being the eagle Christians that we ought to be, pulling us back. Sometimes it's material. Sometimes it is a desire for something. He says, be careful about those weights, because they can keep you from soaring and being the type of Christian God wants you to be. Then he says, talks about sin. The sin, he says, which doth so easily beset us. That is so easy, captures us. And it's amazing what might be a sin that is so difficult for you to handle may not be a problem for me. Someone, it might be lust. Someone, it might be pride. Or some other type of sin that the Bible enunciates. But, you know, we all have a besetting sin to some degree. And we need to be careful, because if we allow it to rule in our lives, it will hinder us from soaring spiritually, to being the eagle Christian that God wants us to be. And like the ego, we need to get rid of it. We need to get rid of it. We need to rid ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit, confessing it and committing it to God and saying no to the flesh, keeping it under. Keeping it under. The final thing that the eagle inherits is the eagle inherits long life. The eagle inherits long life. In some cases, an eagle's in captivity. Eagles have lived to be 15, 20, 40 years. Some naturalists say there have been eagles who've lived to be 120 years old. And at the age of 100, the eagle sheds all of its feathers and fresh ones come so that it looks completely young again. Completely young again. And in like manner, the Lord has promised to renew our youth like the eagles by His Spirit, by His power. God restores and revives our lives and returns us to the day of our youth. And I think in terms of the outward appearance, that's for eternity. This mortal being upon, and we, our youth is going to be renewed. But I believe that to a measure here, as we walk close to the Lord, as we honor the Lord, and as Paul himself says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it's verse 16, he says, even though the outward man perisheth, yet the inward man can be renewed, be invigorated day by day, can be refreshed. The inward man. There is the hope of heaven and being renewed and being changed physically. We're going to see Him and we're going to be like Him. But even today, God wants to transform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to renew us from within. From within. Someone has said, winter may be upon my head, but the eternal springtime is in my heart. We can be renewed. We can be renewed like the eagle. We can be renewed in the spirit of the inner man. But that comes from spending time with God. That spending being in His presence. That comes from obeying Him. A daily walk with Him. That's where renewing comes. And that's why Paul said, and that's where the renewing of our minds come. We can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. As we stay close to God. The outward man might perish, but all the inward man can be renewed day by day. He said, I will renew you. He says, I will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Christians get old in physical and chronological age, but old. And they can even mature spiritually, but oh, there's still a vibrancy. There's still a youth and excitement about their faith. About their faith. And that's what we've been called. Are you an eagle Christian? Am I an eagle Christian? Maybe there is some weight. Maybe there is some sin. Maybe there's something that is holding you back, holding me back from soaring. God wants us to soar. No matter the circumstances, He wants us to be eagle Christians. And so let us, as the people of God, wait upon the Lord. And that simply is to yield ourselves to Him, that our lives may be renewed like the eagle. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You that the eternal God indeed is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. We thank You, O God, that even in the midst of the physical challenges of life, yet the inward man can be renewed day by day. And Father, we readily confess that there are some weights, if we are honest. And maybe there are some sins in our lives that are causing us not to reach our full potential, not enabling us to soar as we ought. Cause us, O Lord, to be humble before You and allow You to cause us to soar as we ought, that we might see as You see and know Your will and do Your will, and indeed, O Lord, that You might be glorified that we may not only be blessed, but we might be a blessing. Father, thank you for your word. The ends of your word indeed gives light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus.